The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokats, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, November 25th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I hope you had a great weekend. I certainly had an interesting one myself. But enough about that. Let's get to today's news and topics. We got all sorts of interesting things for you today, including our regularly scheduled visit with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, author of Understanding Marijuana, Parents Guide to Marijuana, The Pot and Politics, so many great books out there. He'll be joining us at 1:30 to take your live questions via our chat room or our live call-in number at 971-533-7111. A couple of great studies to ask him about as well, including that study on using aspirin and THC together, as well as a new study that came out today about THC versus autoimmune disorders. We'll get the scientific lowdown from Dr. Mitch later on today. And then at 1:45, we'll have time for a radical rant. There's a headline that's just screaming all across the internet about Washington State Patrol picking up more drivers for THC now that pot's legalized. And of course, Kevin Sabet and all the scaremongers want to frighten the hell out of anyone else who might think about legalizing marijuana. We'll show you why that number by itself means nothing, and how actually Washington State's roads are safer than they've ever been. That'll be in the Radical Rant at the end of the show. Also on today's show, it's time for our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tune. We'll have Bacon Dan calling in. We've got some French pop music for you on Roots Monday. This one should be interesting, from Frank Alamo, coming up a little bit later. But first, we've got to get to our 420 headline news. And in the headlines, of course, we have the death of longtime supporter of marijuana legalization, Peter Lewis of Progressive Insurance. We'll go behind the headlines and give you a look at his life and career and his steadfast support for all of our freedom. And we're going to begin with our 420 radio headlines that include that headline on the Washington State drivers, an update on the Colombian connection to the DEA raids in Denver, Colorado, and elsewhere, that new study on autoimmune disorders, the New York City Council talking medical marijuana, and how a shipment to a Florida couple almost got them in felony trouble for hauling 11 pounds of weed around the country. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show today. Thanks for supporting us. Make sure you visit 420radio.org and like our pages today. We'll be right back after these messages.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today. When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, November 25th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. More drivers test positive for pot since Washington legalized cannabis, police say. This from the New York Daily News. The number of Washingtonians who tested positive for pot while driving got higher ever since the leaf's legalization in January, authorities said. Washington State Patrol says it found THC, marijuana's psychoactive ingredient, in the bloodstream of 745 drivers pulled over this year. That's a 9 percentage point increase from where we were last time at this year, Sergeant Jason Hicks explained. The State Patrol arrests about 20,000 people every year on suspicion of driving under the influence of a controlled substance. Other police agencies report similar numbers. But Hicks says that legal recreational use of pot is too new for them to definitively say that it led to the jump. Quote, in about 3 years, we will have an idea of whether marijuana is showing an increase, end quote, he said. Another explanation could be a mandatory class for troopers on detecting people under the influence of any drugs. Still another could be the ability of authorities to obtain more blood samples than before, Hicks suggested. Colombian arrested in feds' marijuana raids that seized guns and ammo in Colorado, from the Denver Post. Federal authorities seized five assault-style rifles, five handguns, a shotgun, and a large cache of ammunition during a search last week of a home in connection with a major raid on medical marijuana businesses in the Denver metro area, according to a court document unsealed Monday. During the raids, authorities arrested 49-year-old Hector Diaz, a Colombian national, according to the document. Diaz was charged Friday with being in possession of a firearm after having been admitted to the United States under a non-immigrant visa. According to the complaint, investigators had obtained a photo of Diaz holding two semi-automatic rifles while wearing a Drug Enforcement Administration ball cap. Investigators believe the photo was taken inside the swanky Cherry Hills Village home where Diaz was arrested Thursday. The home, which a SWAT team descended upon Thursday, was among several places authorities raided. The raids were largely connected to VIP Wellness, a medical marijuana dispensary. Sources have told the Denver Post that investigators are looking into possible links between the dispensary and Colombian drug cartels. Study shows marijuana's potential for treating autoimmune disorders, from medicalexpress.com. A new study from researchers at the University of South Carolina provides evidence that THC, a principal ingredient in marijuana, may be beneficial in treating those with autoimmune disorders. The study was performed by researchers from USC's School of Medicine by injecting laboratory mice with THC. Lead authors have studied how marijuana can alter immune functions and inflammation for over a decade. They were the first to show that marijuana components suppress inflammation. The current study, along with others, suggests that marijuana can act as a double-edged sword. On one hand, suppressing inflammation and thereby increasing susceptibility to certain diseases, while on the other, serving as an effective treatment modality against inflammatory and autoimmune diseases. New York City Council debates medical marijuana resolution from politicker.com. The New York City Council's Health Committee gathered today to discuss a hot-button issue being considered by a legislative body far from home, medical marijuana legislation currently before U.S. Congress. In a 6-0 vote, a resolution was sent to the full council urging the federal government to approve the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act, which would take medical marijuana off the federal list of controlled substances and enable certified medical providers and researchers to prescribe or access the drug without the threat of prosecution. The chair of the committee, Councilwoman Maria Carmen Arroyo, argued that even though 20 U.S. states have legalized the use of medical marijuana, there is an inconsistency in the way medical providers and patients are treated under the federal law. Florida couple accidentally smuggles 11 pounds of marijuana from Louisiana, from New York Daily News. A Florida couple accidentally hauled an 11-pound stash of marijuana home from Louisiana, authorities said. The Key Largo husband and wife carried the leafy contraband throughout a 900-mile journey before they got back to Florida, popped open a pair of mysterious suitcases, and discovered bags of weed inside. The alarmed couple quickly called the local sheriff's office, authorities said. The strange case of the accidental smugglers began in July when a puzzling package arrived at one of the couple's rental properties in Louisiana. The box was still there when the husband and wife recently took a trip to check on several of their vacation properties. They opened the box and found two locked blue suitcases inside. Thinking the bags were lost luggage being returned to someone, they tossed them in their truck and planned to deal with them later, authorities said. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, November 25th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and remember the life of Peter B. Lewis, the founder of Progressive Insurance, who died at his home in Coconut Grove, Florida this Saturday at the age of 80. Mr. Lewis was one of the major contributors to marijuana legalization and medical marijuana over the past two decades. Listening to the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Hey, tokers and tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack Go!
Oh yeah, that's right, groovin', keeping it mellow here at the Funky Roller Ring. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night. The doors open at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, baby.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, groove on. Groove on.
back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where we are sad to report that billionaire marijuana legalization funder Peter Lewis has died at the age of 80. He was the founder of Progressive Insurance and a philanthropist. He passed away just 12 days after his 80th birthday. Mr. Lewis apparently died of natural causes, said Jennifer Frutchie, Mr. Lewis's philanthropic advisor, as was reported in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Mr. Lewis built his fortune, estimated to be around $1 billion at the time of his death, when he and his mother borrowed $2.5 million to buy out the company he was working for, then known as Progressive Mutual Insurance Company of Mayfield, Ohio, a small insurance firm with just 100 employees in 1965. Now, Progressive is the fourth largest auto insurer in the United States, with over 26,000 employees. Known for the iconic advertising character Mr. Lewis loved, the headband-wearing customer service rep Flo that helped make Progressive a household name. It is estimated over Mr. Lewis's lifetime, he gave $500 million away to causes that included his alma mater, Princeton University, museums, art institutes, and political campaigns. But here at 420 Radio, we'll always be most grateful for Mr. Lewis's generosity in funding the successful campaigns for marijuana reform, beginning with funds he donated for signature gatherers for California's Prop 215 to become the first medical marijuana state, continuing with donations that provided the majority of the funding to the Marijuana Policy Project, and culminating in his donations to Colorado's Amendment 64 and his majority funding of Washington's Initiative 502 to become the first two legal marijuana states. Lawyer Graham Boyd, Peter Lewis's political strategist and friend, said, quote, "The role that Peter has played in marijuana reform is that of leading this movement to the very brink of success. We've won two important states, and I think just in the very near future, there's going to be a cascade of victories that will be attributable to him, and I do wish he had lived to see that success," end quote. Peter Lewis was born on November 11, 1933 in Cleveland and passed away at his home in Coconut Grove, Florida on Saturday afternoon. His initial experience with marijuana began in 1972, but he began using more regularly in 1998 to help treat pain he suffered after a partial leg amputation following an infection. In 2000, Mr. Lewis was jailed in New Zealand when airport drug dogs detected marijuana in his luggage. Up to his death, Mr. Lewis was fighting marijuana prohibition, recently donating money to the New Approach Oregon campaign to legalize marijuana in 2014. In an interview with Forbes magazine just 2 years ago, Mr. Lewis said, quote, "Our marijuana laws are outdated, ineffective, and stupid. I don't believe laws against things people do regularly, like safe and responsible use of marijuana, make any sense," end quote. Neither do we, Mr. Lewis. Thank you for putting a whole lot of money where your mouth is, and may you rest in peace. Peter Lewis, 1933 to 2013. And it may be impossible to overstate how much importance Peter Lewis, between him, George Soros, and George Zimmer from the Men's Warehouse, not George Zimmerman, if you saw that Saturday Night Live skit, it's rather funny, but George Zimmer from Men's Warehouse were all major funders of the initial signature drive that got Prop 215 passed in California. And as we all know, that was the crack in the wall of ignorance. That was the beginning of the fall of the Berlin Wall of Prohibition. And throughout his lifetime, he continued to fund Marijuana Policy Project, the various arms of Marijuana Policy Project that were funding statewide initiatives for legalization in Alaska and in Colorado, and trying to get marijuana medical marijuana passed in various states and succeeding in most of the states that they tried in. It's just a huge loss to our community. And we have yet to see how his estate will be divided, how that may translate into future funding of marijuana legalization causes. It's my belief he's probably left something for us to continue our mission. And I just want to thank him so much for, you know, standing up for our liberty, standing up for the marijuana users, and when it wasn't always popular to do so. Thank you, Peter Lewis, for everything. Now, I would think it only appropriate to celebrate and remember the freedom that we have gained in this state and others and across the world with some Cindy 99. Be back in a minute.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
No Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Naar de Cannabis Cup van 24 tot en met 28 november in Amsterdam in de Van Genthallen bij Amsterdam Roest. Verwacht alle coffeeshophouders uit Amsterdam die hun beste nieuwste producten laten zien. En hun wiet en hash wordt gekeurd door een panel aan deskundige wiet-experts die een uitreiking gaan doen wie de beste wiet en hash heeft van het land. Verder heel lekker eten, drinken, sapjes, toffe optredens in de Melkweg. Dus zorg dat je erbij bent, 26e editie van de Cannabis Cup.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals, they're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes. And I know the loss to Real Salt Lake is probably still stinging for our Portland Timbers fan, but we got Bacon Dan on the line. How you doing, Dan?
I am indeed still sad about the Timbers losing.
It's not
it
been
a
it's
very
been a,
tough loss.
It's been a weird sports weekend. The Timbers lost. The Portland State Vikings looked like they were going to pull an upset against number 3 Eastern Washington in their division. They ended up losing. The Packers ended up getting a tie. Boise State ends up losing because they can't kick a field goal when they need to win. It's just been a mixed bag for me, Dan.
Yeah, it's just too weird. It's just too weird.
Yeah, yeah. So I went back because we were off for a couple of Mondays, and so I had found some of the previous posts you had uploaded, and I thought this one would be kind of interesting, this French pop song, Hero Tous les Deux. Do I get that right?
Yes, yes, you did. It's a French version of an old 60s song that people recognize, that, you know, me and you and me. It's just weird. A lot of people know it nowadays from the movie Get 'Em to the Greek.
Yeah.
And the very iconic scene where Russell Brand is running around with Jonah Hill, completely smashed, and they're kind of tripping balls, and you see P. Diddy's head floating by, and it's it just makes me laugh. And this song, it's actually quite beautiful, too, to listen to in French. It gives it a whole different, you know, meaning to it.
Excellent. And not all is lost. The Portland Trailblazers are still kicking ass, so at least we can celebrate that, right?
Oh, yes. And I'm Rob the Free Throw Guy, for anybody who's a Blazers fan, is a very well-known super fan. He is beyond ecstatic about that.
Oh, I'm sure he is. We got to talk to Rob here one of these days, and we'll head out to one of those Ed Foreman shows and catch up with everybody. That'll be fun.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Bacon Dan, for calling in. And here is, and the artist's name, Frank Alamo, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, Frank Alamo with Rue to le Doux.
Je ne sais pas pourquoi, pourquoi je t'ai suivi un soir chez toi. Mais en tout cas, je sais que depuis ce jour-là, on est heureux, si heureux tous les deux. J'ai changé grâce à toi, oui je l'avoue. Je n'oublie plus mes rendez-vous. Je suis moins fou. La vie est comme un ciel tout bleu. On est heureux, si heureux tous les deux. Faisons le vœu de vivre heureux, si heureux tous les deux. Je t'ai trouvé sans chercher mon amour. Je t'ai trouvé. On s'est aimé sans se cacher nuit et jour. On s'est aimé. Je le vois tout cet été, courant sur le soleil doré, sans se quitter. Et rien de chacun d'en parler. On est heureux, si heureux tous les deux. Je ne saurais jamais pourquoi je t'ai suivi un soir chez toi. Mais en tout cas, je sais que depuis ce jour-là, on est heureux, si heureux tous les deux.
Desde la revista High Times, te invitamos a venir a Amsterdam desde el 24 al 28 de noviembre al 26 aniversario de nuestro Cannabis Cup, donde demostraremos las muchas variedades de marihuana y hachís en los coffee shops. También tendremos una exposición de productos, seminarios de sembradíos, conciertos en las noches y una ceremonia de premios donde honramos la mejor marihuana del mundo. ¡Vámonos!
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? by Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
420radio.org presents Cannabis Cure TV with Greg DeHote from Sussex, England, exploring medical marijuana and marijuana legalization in Europe and the UK. Every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific, with replays Wednesday at 11 a.m., Thursday at 4 a.m., and Saturdays at 7 a.m., right here on 420radio.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for our weekly segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. How you doing, doctor?
Crazy day.
A little bit of a crazy day. All right, I've had a crazy weekend, so we can meld those two together, I think. Want to remind everyone, get your questions ready. You've got the chat room available. Type the Q thing at the beginning. That'll help me pick them out. Or call in live at 971-533-7111. We always open up by giving the doctor the chance to tell us what's the latest in cannabis science.
In fact, next month in the journal Drug and Alcohol Dependence, we're going to see some data from some folks in the Netherlands basically trying to predict the transition from frequent cannabis use to cannabis dependence. I made fun of it a little bit on Facebook, but there actually is an interesting finding related to marijuana coping motives. Basically, folks who develop problems with cannabis are, of course, the ones who had problems with cannabis 3 years earlier. But the other interesting finding is just that folks who seem to use cannabis to cope, so they say, I use it in order to fix my mood or pick me up when I'm down or things like that, were also the ones who were more likely to develop problems. Obviously, everybody loves the plant and, you know, want to use it when you're in a good mood and helping you out. It's certainly not a great way to avoid the problems you have, and that's pretty much what these data are saying. I didn't want to split hairs about whether cannabis dependence exists or not, but basically, as the symptoms increase, it did look like folks were developing more problems.
Do you find that these studies lately have been more toward the, you know, what is the heavy cannabis user doing compared to what would be just the norm for most cannabis users?
It's kind of funny how the search for problems has led folks to really focus on the heaviest users in their samples. So, you actually don't see very dramatic rates of dependence if you just go ahead and look at everybody who's ever tried it. This sample looks really horrifying because they say, and over the 3 years, over 30% developed symptoms of cannabis dependence. But, you know, you're basically getting daily users already, so you shouldn't really make a big deal out of that.
Yeah, and I always wonder, what is the difference between being dependent on something versus it successfully treating or having the effect you're wanting it to have?
Well, and it's funny, we've split hairs before about what is really withdrawal in this and what is actually tolerance in cannabis and things like that. And when you think about why are those even symptoms of dependence in the first place, we're left over stuff with the alcohol model where, of course, higher doses and greater amounts mean guaranteed liver problems. Cannabis being essentially non-toxic doesn't have that same risk at all.
All right. Well, there's a couple of studies that have come about in the past week that I wanted to get your opinion on. This first one was very interesting, and it got picked up by a few mainstream outlets, and it was about the use of painkillers to curb memory loss from using, and they say medical marijuana, but it could be any marijuana, and specifically talking about ibuprofen and aspirin working to block the COX-2 enzyme, and how this relates to the CB1 and CB2 receptors. And boy, before long, there's a whole lot of words going on there I didn't understand. So I wanted to make sure I got your take on this. What are they telling us here about the use of painkillers combined with marijuana?
Well, what's funny is this was actually all rodent data, and it got written up in the LA Times of all places. And those COX-2 is basically just, how do these prostaglandins create a lot of swelling and then handle pain, and this is a way to sort of deal with that.
But I felt like that article in particular sort of implied that a couple of ibuprofen would undo the intoxicating effects of cannabis, and I really don't want people to think that's the case, because that would be a really deceptive claim. But we also found that the amyloid plaques associated with Alzheimer's in these rats were not developing at the same rate, and so the combination of THC and ibuprofen was basically potentially protecting folks against these rats, at least, against the development of some things that are correlated with Alzheimer's. And I found like that was incredibly promising and a really interesting finding. The fact that that got buried in this notion that somehow aspirin and cannabis are not going to be intoxicating was a little bit of a shame.
Yeah, this was, I mean, the actual line in, let's see, this is sciencemag.org, and their report said, "As for people who use marijuana recreationally, taking ibuprofen as well might kill the buzz they're looking for." And I got to thinking, you know, there's been a whole lot of pot smokers, and I know a few of them have had a headache now and then. That's, somebody have had to have taken an aspirin by now while they were high and realized it messed up the high. So we can kind of put the bunk label on that.
Well, in fact, let's just say that the day that article appeared, there was an empirical investigation that suggested it's not the case at all.
Okay. We have some questions coming in from our chat room. Howdy, y'all would like to know, if I haven't smoked cannabis in a long, long time and take a trip to a legal state, how long will I test positive on a P-test?
As it turns out, everybody metabolizes a little differently, and it really depends on how much you ingest while you're there. But right now we've got urine strips that are relatively cheap available on the internet, so you can do that experiment yourself, of course. But odds are high, even an intense weekend could stay in your system 2 weeks to 4 weeks, even if you haven't smoked a whole lot before then.
What can you say for a blood test?
Blood test is another situation. In fact, that should be something that you can get out of your system markedly more rapidly than a urine test. So even 2 to 4 days afterwards, if you're not smoking subsequently, is a possibility.
Well, that opens up an idea. Is it possible, and I imagine maybe some unions might even be able to negotiate this thing, but is it possible where if you were, you know, in an accident on the job and they had to do that drug test for you, that you could lobby for it to be a blood test for active impairing THC rather than a urine test for metabolites?
Sad but true. I mean, we definitely could get that if enough unions could make that happen. But the inexpense of urine tests relative to the expense of blood tests has been really a damper on all of that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Much more important to save a buck than to make sure somebody was actually stoned when they got in the accident. The unfortunate economics of it, folks. All right. There is another study, and this one just came into the news today, and it was a study showing marijuana's potential for treating autoimmune disorders. These were researchers at University of South Carolina, and just finding that marijuana's components could suppress inflammation and be effective treatment against inflammatory and autoimmune diseases. Does this tell us more than what we've already known?
Well, I mean, we have known that for a while, but I want to emphasize that, in fact, almost any green leafy plant, spinach, lettuce, you know, not you know, the standard silly water lettuce, but, you know, a nice spring mix and a great big bowl of baby spinach, those are also great as far as anti-inflammatories are concerned. So we shouldn't be completely stunned that yet another green plant is a possible aid to immune function.
Hmm. All right. So this is study on, you can find this at medicalexpress.com, folks, if you're looking for that. And if you have any questions in our chat room, we're looking for questions, and you can call us at 971-533-7111. We're approaching the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States, and so with that, we always have the legend of the tryptophan, the turkey, and getting sleepy with that. Is there any truth to that rumor that eating too much turkey is going to make you fall asleep? And is there any kind of marijuana one could take to counteract that effect?
It's an intriguing question. And, of course, some of the more stimulating sativa-type strains would counter some of that. I do feel like the tryptophan is a little bit overplayed, although it definitely does have a sedating effect if you have a big enough dose to cross the blood-brain barrier. Turkey has tryptophan, but has all these other amino acids too. And of course, nobody eats only a little on Thanksgiving, so there's a bit of a confound as far as that sedation is concerned. I do recommend that, you know, hey, it's Thanksgiving. By all means, everybody should just show a little compassion to themselves and others as far as how they treat themselves and others at the table.
There we go. I'm also wondering if you saw the stories going around about the Washington State Patrol having more positive tests for marijuana that they find on the roadways compared to the year before. Are there any things that you'd want to contribute to that discussion?
My biggest push is for basically behavioral measures rather than these ridiculous urine screens. And I'm not stunned that there's a little more cannabis use before driving as people are getting a feel for how that's all supposed to work. And I certainly would support the idea of spreading the word that cannabis and driving really, it's not great, but neither is Benadryl and driving or fatigue and driving and things like that. So getting that word out. But I'd much rather see law enforcement move towards those behavioral measures of walking a line and follow my finger and all those things that we're accustomed to with the alcohol literature, rather than this quick run to gather somebody's pee.
You know, there was an article, and I think it got posted up on High Times, about cops. They were cocky that they could catch marijuana drivers, that it was easy to catch them. And one of the things that one of the officers pointed out was that he said marijuana drivers couldn't multitask. They'd be doing the speed limit, but they'd weave in out of their lane. Or they'd be straight in their lane, but they'd be high and low on the gas. Any truth to that, that we have trouble multitasking?
In fact, no, the data that Roby gathered even back in the 90s suggested that's not really the issue. It's more an automatic versus a controlled process. So automatic processing, staying right down the center of the lane, does seem to be harder to do after using cannabis, but not to the point of swerving around the entire highway. Whereas the more controlled things like turning right, turning left, making sure you use enough time to stop and things like that don't seem to show really any meaningful impairment at all. I do feel like it's easy to sort of confirm your own suspicions, if you will. If you catch a couple of people that way, you start to think you've totally got it beat, when in fact everybody who's getting away without it, of course, you never caught, so you don't know that you were wrong.
Yeah, there we go. Data by themselves usually don't tell us much. I just get alarmed that they see a number that goes up, and like, oh my gosh, a number went up, therefore bad. You know, did harm go up? Did we see any other related things go down? So far, we're looking for information on alcohol-related driving just to see, because there has been some suggestion of a substitute effect between those. And if we find that, then, you know, trading drunk drivers for stone drivers, would that be a net good?
I mean, in all honesty, I think that would be a net good. But I also feel like right now, everybody in Washington State is hyper alert about this issue. And we're going to have to, you know, spend a little time ironing out some of the big deals. In truth, this is the first time we've ever had cannabis be legal in the state. We need to take some time ironing out some of the issues. But I'm completely optimistic that we can do this in a way where everybody can use cannabis responsibly without a lot of negative consequences.
Yeah, even the troopers interviewed in these stories mentioned that it's going to, you know, it's too soon to tell. It's going to be 3 years before we really know what has happened here. But that seems to always get buried deep in the middle of those stories rather than presented at the top.
It never quite makes the headlines.
There we go. All right. Well, Dr. Mitch Earlywine, thanks so much again for joining us every Monday here on our Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A. And folks, if you want to get in touch with Dr. Mitch directly, you can email him at 420research@gmail.com. Thanks,
Have
Mitch.
Have a great holiday.
Have a great holiday yourself. When we come back, we'll talk about those Washington State driving statistics. I actually have them. Stick around.
To the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? how to hide herb in your car, whether to grow your own, how precisely to legalize it, or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place. Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smokers Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
Jesse.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Washington cops find 420 stone drivers. Really? You know, after writing on polls and statistics over this past few years, I always find it funny how media will jump all over a press release from some police agency with some meager scraps of data in it and then turn it into a five-course meal of propaganda scaremongering. Here's the facts. The Washington State Patrol released preliminary data on positive THC blood tests from suspected impaired drivers for the first half of 2013. The crime lab reported 745 people tested positive for marijuana, and of those, 420 tested above the state's 5 nanogram per milliliter THC limit. Yes, 420. So add easy pot puns and stoner references to the media meal for dessert. Continuing with the facts. In the past 2 years, the annual total each year for overall positive marijuana blood tests in Washington is about 1,000. 1,000 per year. In 2011, there were 506 of those tests that were over 5 nanograms. In 2012, there were 609 of those tests above 5 nanograms. Overall impaired driving cases, however, are on pace to hit the annual average of about 20,000. Now, based on those data, we find the Christian Science Monitor, proclaiming pot smokers arrested for DUI, a record high in Washington. Well, that's not exactly true. Yeah, to get a blood test, cops must make a DUI arrest and get a warrant, and in years past, about 1,000 tested positive for THC. But before legalization, all those positive tests, at any amount, not just the ones over 5 nanograms, were evidence used to convict on DUI charges. Now, any test below 5 nanograms is proof a driver was below the legal limit. So the 420 tests above 5 nanograms work out to 840, if we expand it, you know, double it for the whole year, right? Because it's 6 months of data. Double it, we got 840. And that would still be below any of the 1,000 any amount DUIs that were registered each year prior. Now, the website Medical Daily goes even further. In their story, more Washington motorists test positive for pot following marijuana legalization. Their opening sentence proclaims, since fully legalizing marijuana in January, Washington State reported this week a threefold spike in marijuana-related arrests for suspected impaired driving. End quote. How did about 1,000 pot positives a year to 745 pot positives in 6 months become a threefold spike? Now, reading further, Medical Daily writes, those numbers, compared to 1,000 such arrests over a two-year period prior to the legalization of marijuana for recreational use. End quote. Aha. It seems the author misread a sentence from the original Reuters report that read, by contrast, in each of the last two full years, about 1,000 drivers who were pulled over test positive for THC and missed the crucial each part. In each of the last two full years, about 1,000 drivers were pulled over. So this guy took the each, forgot about that, and figured it was 1,000 for that two-year span. So divide that in half to get 1 year, that'd be 500 a year. And then you take the current 745 over 6 months, you double that for a year, that would be 1490, close enough to 1500 to say, ah, a threefold spike. Now, other media outlets are more subtle in their accentuation of the negative. The Reuters piece was reprinted in several media outlets like the Chicago Tribune. It opens by pointing out the 745 drivers with positive pot tests and then notes that over half of those tests were above 5 nanograms and then compares that to the 1,000 positive THC drivers from 2011 and the 1,000 positive THC drivers from 2012. It's what they leave out that helps to set the scary frame. Let me show you how this works. I requested the actual data from Associated Press reporter Eugene Johnson, who got it via email from Bob Calkins, who's the media and community relations officer for the Washington State Patrol. This is the original table of data that was released that all these stories are being based on, okay? Now, I've taken the data and put it into a nice Excel because that's, you know, what I do. And took a look at this data. So here's the way it works. Indeed, the rate of THC positive drivers has increased to 27.2% of all blood tests ordered, up from roughly 20% of all tests in the years prior. And here you can see the table. There's the data. So as we look, 2009, there was roughly 4,800 tests. 20% of those were THC positive. 5,000 tests in 2010, about 20%, 19.5% for THC positive. 5,100 tests in 2011, about 20% THC positive. 5,300 tests about in 2012, 18.6% positive. And now for the first half of 2013, 2,739 tests, about 27.2% of them are positive. Now, what they aren't pointing out in here, though, is the rate of positive drivers who are actually over the limit. If you look at these 1,036 positive THC tests from 2011, and you note that 506 of them were over the 5 nanogram limit, there was no actual limit in Washington State at the time, but that represents 48.8% of the positive tests that were over the 5 nanogram limit. In 2012, 61.6% of the positive tests were over the 5 nanogram limit. This year, it's down 5 percentage points to 56.4% of the positive tests being over 5 nanograms. So we've actually seen, since legalization has taken effect and a 5 nanogram limit has been put into place, fewer of the pot positive drivers are above that legal limit. It also means these 325 that were under the legal limit have themselves a pretty darn good defense against being impaired. They were under the limit. Now, indeed, we are getting 27.2% of these positive tests, but note that 2,739 tests puts us over the full year of having almost 5,500 tests when the year before it was almost 5,300. Also, we've got cops that are being trained and incentivized to go after pot arrests more. Just because you're catching more fish does not mean there are more fish. You may be using a bigger net. You may be fishing at a different time of day. You may have learned new techniques of fishing. You might have found a better fishing hole. That's right, kitty. Now, this still leaves us with 840 above 5 nanogram THC positives for 2013 compared to 609 in 2012. However, the number of tests ordered has been increased, and it also can be true that cops are more likely to order a blood test now than they were in the past. As Trooper Calkins told the Huffington Post, a quote that didn't make it to all these other news organizations, quote, "We're testing blood we didn't test before," end quote. So do we actually have more stone drivers on the road, or are cops now just better trained and incentivized to go after them? The real concern isn't whether there are more drivers caught with THC in their system. That's not terribly surprising given the state has legalized marijuana. The concern is whether harm has increased. On that front, we see in the various reports that the Washington State Patrol is on pace for their average 20,000 impaired driver stops. So it doesn't seem like they're seeing more impairment on the roads than before. The on pace then suggests they're at about, 10,000 stops over 6 months? So out of 10,000 stops, cops only felt the need to order a blood test a quarter of the time. And out of those 2,500 or so, they found 420 people over the legal THC limit. Okay. But according to Washington State Traffic Safety Commission's Target Zero data for 2013, the state is on pace to a record low 88 alcohol-related traffic fatalities and 80 THC-related fatalities for the year. That's the pace. Now, it could be much more than that because there could be many more alcohol fatalities as we enter the holiday months for certain. But so far, compared to 6 months' data of the previous years, we are still far fewer alcohol-related traffic fatalities and THC-related traffic fatalities. Those would be the lowest figures for 5 years and a decline of 22% for alcohol and 30% for THC from 2012 if we stay on this pace. Could it be that greater access to marijuana equals less abuse of alcohol, leading to lower traffic deaths from both? Now, it is certainly the case that stone drivers are far better drivers than drunk drivers, but they're also far better drivers than people using certain legal prescription medications. According to research published this year in the Journal of Accident Analysis and Prevention, drivers who tested positive for marijuana had an odds ratio of 1.81 to 1 of being in a fatal crash compared to a sober driver. Those odds were 3.03 to 1 for narcotics like Vicodin, 3.57 to 1 for stimulants like Adderall, and 4.83 to 1 for depressants like Ativan. But each of those carries a warning on the bottle instructing users not to drive until they know how the medication affects them. None of those drugs carries any per se threshold in a blood test indicating automatic proof of impairment like cannabis and alcohol do. And alcohol comes in with an astounding 13.64 to 1 odds ratio for a fatal crash. So if some of those drivers are switching to the drug with the 1.81 to 1 risk, we should all be celebrating. So in summation, we have fewer people dying on the roadways, about the same amount of impairment detected on the road, more blood testing that has uncovered a lower ratio of pot-positive drivers testing over the 5 nanogram limit, and 4 out of 9 drivers who tested below the new 5 nanogram limit have a legal defense to DUID charges they didn't have the year before. Isn't it interesting how mainstream reporting missed out on so many of these details? Hey, folks, that's all the time we got. Join us in hour two for Toker Talk Radio. Brian the Red's in the house. We're going to have some fun. For him and me, Radical Russ, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're smoking. You
You take a scene, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a scene, you plan it.